Land.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Take me to the water, take me to the sea.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God. Well, we've been talking about exposing Satan's playbook. And I can remember back in my football days when we were getting ready to play another team, usually the coach would send out a scout. And then he'd come back with a report, and we'd have basically a plan on how to attack that team. And I can remember when we were playing Towson, he came back and said, number 24, you got to watch out for him. He's very fast. We're going to double team him anytime he goes deep. And then they'd say, well, we noticed that the left side of the line wasn't as big or strong, so when we run, we're going to run left. And also, we also noticed that the quarterback always is looking left, so when we blitz, we're going to blitz them from the right. So these are some things that we see. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about a little bit about how devious Satan is. I mean, he is so clever. Remember, his name means knowledge, light. He probably is a fabulous singer. He can probably play every instrument. And I wanted to take a look at a song, and a song that actually I believe, and I call myself personally, Satan's Anthem. And this song actually was listed by the Democrat Liberal Party as being one of their theme songs. And also, we can see that it's also a part of the New World Order. So we're going to listen to this song, and then afterwards, I'm going to take it apart, verse by verse, and show you how this beautiful song that sounds so wonderful. In fact, when it first came out in 1971, I remember just singing it myself when I was in a car. So what we're going to take a look and just listen for about half the song, and then I'm going to take the song apart, verse by verse, and show you how devious and clever Satan is in terms of putting an idea in our heads without us even realizing it. So let's just listen for a moment to the song. Well, let's just take this apart. It really is a beautiful song. I used to sing it in the car, and I really thought it was great at the time, back in 71. But let's just take a look at the words and go through one at a time and see exactly what the hidden message is in this song. Okay, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. And then later he says, and there's no religion. Well, this is right out of Nietzsche's God is Dead. Okay, and it's also part of the second part where it says, imagine all the people living for today. That's the New Age movement, exactly. So what we want to see is that all these things that we're seeing hidden in the song are talking about no God, no heaven or hell, no religion, and we're talking about also living for today, and we're going to get into that in a little bit more in detail. Now, there's something else. It says, imagine no countries. It isn't hard to do. No one to kill for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living in peace. Now, you know, I think the only way we're going to have peace is when Jesus comes back. And I think we've seen through actually all the things that have happened, especially that are happening now and unveiling before our eyes as we're living through the last days, we can see that there is no peace until Jesus comes. And we're just anxiously awaiting for that. So you see, the whole world living together, that's the New World Order. That's why the New World Order song that they use as sort of an anthem is Imagine. Okay, and then he says, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Again, that concept of the New World Order. But also it's kind of interesting because he uses the term dreamer. And it's interesting because there is something that a lot of people have gotten into called astral projection. And in astral projection, basically, they are able to conjure up themselves in an altered body. They can actually rise above themselves and look down upon themselves. And this is really, again, a product of Satan. So the thing that I want to bring up, again, living for today, that's another system that was started actually by Aleister Crowley, who's considered one of the most evil men that ever lived. He always had this motto, do what thou wilt. In other words, no commandments, no guide, just do what you want to do. And so we're going to look at that in detail. And, you know, remember what happened to John Lennon, because in December 8th, 1980, he was shot dead in New York. And if you want to imagine something, imagine where you think John Lennon is spending eternity now. And, you know, he was a member of the Beatles. And, you know, I really enjoyed the Beatle music. When it first came out, the Beatle music was just basic soft rock and roll. Okay, I remember hearing songs like, I Want to Hold Your Hand, okay? And also, She Loves You, She Loves You, She Loves You, okay? And then Love Me Do, and then I Love You, and then A Hard Day's Night, and then Money, and then also, Do You Want to Know a Secret? And these songs were really important to me when I was growing up because these were the songs when I went to CYO, Catholic Youth Organization, and all we had was a record player, and we brought records in, and we'd play the music, and we'd dance. And all this music of the early Beatles, you could dance to. And I really enjoyed doing it. In high school, every 2 weeks, we had a dance. It was really great fun. You go and you dance, and it was just time to meet other people and have a great time. It was really wonderful. It was really a cool time. But one of the things that happened to the Beatles, and I'll just tell you an interesting story, because I went to, it was a group that was imitating the Beatles, and they came out, and about 10 years ago, I went to one of their venues. And it was really interesting because from 1961 to 1967, the Beatles played music such as I Want to Hold Your Hand, and you could dance to it. But something happened in 1967, and that's they went and spent a lot of time with Maharishi, okay, who was another one of the New World New World Order type people, and they adopted a completely different flavor called basically psychedelic music. And this really changed because when the guys that were doing this and performing it, they did the songs from the Beatles, and they said, now we're going to go and show their later songs. You can't dance to them, okay? There's no beat that you can actually dance to. So it was a big difference. And so, again, we see the one of the Beatles that we just talked about, John Lennon, he made a statement. He says, the whole Beatles was about an idea that you can do what you want. Okay, do what you wilt. And this is, again, right from Aleister Crowley. And another guy who said the same thing, do what thou wilt. In other words, do whatever you feel comfortable doing. It's all good. Okay, Anton LaVey was a Satanist. He said the same thing. And so what you see is a change in the Beatle music after they went in 67 and spent time with the Maharishi and brought back this whole New Age group music to the United States. One of the first albums you see it in is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And I remember hearing that. And actually, in the front cover, you see none other than Aleister Crowley. Again, do what thou wilt. And then they had the Magical Mystery Tour. And then they had this white album music, which featured a song, Helter Skelter. Okay. In fact, one of the things that, and also in that White Album was, I got to get you into my life. Well, you know what? Someone really did, Helter Skelter really did get into someone's life. And that was Charles Manson. And you know the result. See, music can influence in many, many different ways. And this particular person, Charles Manson, he was relating the song to the Book of Revelation. And of course, what ends up happening? He ends up sending people to kill the LaBiancas and Sharon Tate, etc. So you can see music can really influence people. In fact, one of the strangest elections that ever occurred was when Bush was running against Clinton. He was running for a second term, and it looked like he was going to win. The economy was great. He had everything was going right in America. And then here comes Clinton, and he's making confessions. Yeah, I smoke marijuana. Yeah, I am a womanizer. And all the things that he did with women, just about everybody ever met he wanted to have sex with. Well, one of the things that influenced, and he gave credit to this song, was Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. This became his theme song. And the whole youth group got together and said, yeah, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Good. And that influenced the election. Now, some of the songs and some of the music, it's really obviously what it's all about. For example, if you take a look at AC/DC and look at the words in their song Highway to Hell, okay, I'll just read a few stanzas. No stops or sign limits, no speed limits, nobody's going to slow me down. Hey, Satan, I paid my dues playing in the rock and roll band. I'm on the highway to hell. Now, that one, no one is really going to dispute and see there's anything hidden in that. But, you know, when you look at the guys singing at AC/DC, you can see they're wearing jewelry that's just basically satanic. So we see this there. And then, you know, even in a subtle way, Led Zeppelin. And they're singing a song which you couldn't mistake for a Christian song, The Stairway to Heaven. In fact, the words to it, there's a lady who sees all that glitters is gold, and she's buying her stairway to heaven. Buying her stairway. Well, this is the whole concept that we see has crept in to many Christian groups, and that's that if you do a lot of good, you're going to get to heaven. Okay, we know it's not dependent on that, what you do. It's dependent on making a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In fact, even the Catholic Church, for example, had indulgences. You could actually buy indulgences and lessen your time in purgatory. So we see this as a way that Satan gets into our mind, gets into our hearts. You know, when you listen to songs long enough, you get what's called an earworm, and you just start singing them at any given time. So these are the things we want to be on the lookout for. Okay, that's why you probably should be listening to radio stations like WCNO, where you're getting good Christian music, and the ideas that they're bringing forth that can stick into your mind and heart will actually benefit you. Now, just recently, I was reading an article, and it was called about a new yoga and a mystic that now is on the scene in America. This Indian yoga and mystic is named Sadhguru, and he is basically some of the two big followers of him are Will Smith and Tom Brady, the football star. Okay, and he believes in something called, and by the way, he has 8.6 million followers. And his philosophy is called, just feel blissed out all the time. And here's one of his quotes. There is no meaning to anything in the universe. No meaning to anything in the universe? See, as we as Christians understand there's a war going on. We understand it's the battle on between us and Satan, and how the only weapon we have is the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we do that, we get all kinds of weapons to counteract that. So CNBC once said, when they were interviewing him, Shogun told CNBC, I never look for meanings because I'm blissed out all the time. So we don't want to be blissed out, okay? And we can see he has many, many quotes that are kind of interesting. But what I want to bring up is what he's promoting here. And not seeing meaning in anything. He's promoting what we call apathy. And apathy, in a way, is a glove which evil slips its hand into. And also, you know, I remember a funny story about a Christian group was interviewing people on the street, and they were asking them this question. They said, listen, what do you think the problem with religion is today? Do you think it's ignorance or apathy? And most of them answered, I don't know and I don't care. So we can see we're seeing that example. And also, you know, there is nothing besides a spiritual world What we call the world of senses is the evil and spiritual world, and what we call evil is only the necessity of the moment in our eternal evolution. He's promoting this, and this is basically Gnostic. It's Gnosticism again, where you can do whatever you want with your body because it's not what's important. It's only the spiritual part. And this is an incredible part that they're working into these Maharishis and these gurus, these mystics that are coming to America and promulgating this this doctrine, which is basically Gnosticism all over again. And Paul warns about that many times. And the Book of Revelation has warned about many times. Now, something occurred in my life that was really kind of special. It was May 25th. 1986. And what I had myself and my wife and my five children participate in was an event. It was across all America. It was called Hands Across America. And I remember the idea was on a given moment, a truck was going to come down the road that we were holding our hands to, and it was going to say Hands Across America. And we were holding hands and we raised our hands high in the air. It was really special. We went down right down the street from where we live was Route 40. Route 40, I looked down to the east and looked down to the west. As far as I could see, there were people. We were all holding hands. And then when the truck came down, we all screamed out, Hands Across America, and raised our hands in the air. It was a really great event, okay? And why am I bringing that up? Because, see, one of the things that happened, and you have to relate this to it, was what happened at the Tower of Babel. You see, what happened at the Tower of Babel is, and I'll quote from Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which is what they can do and imagine. So again, we fit this word imagine in here, and you see why the Lord created nations. He created them. So this one world is anti-God. He created nations because he knew the dangers of everybody being as one. And one of the things that really got the past president, President Trump, in trouble is he was going directly against the one world order. He had America first. America first is antithesis of the one world order. And so you see what happened, you know, before he was elected, you know, was all the media was against him, business was against him. And yet somehow miraculously he became president. I was really shocked when I found out that he had won the next morning. In fact, when we went to Bocce that next day, I remember the guys at Bocce, several of them were actually crying because they were so happy that he had beat Hillary Clinton. So we can see that's one of the reasons why the media and so forth are so against them, because they're all for this one world order, this imagine. And, you know, what is globalism anyway? It's sort of like exactly what I was talking about with the Hands Across America, only they're saying hands across the whole world. And one of the things that you have to see is what's going to when we have a service, a Good Samaritan, we always started off with the American flag. And then we have one of the children come out and they recite the national, they recite the Pledge of Allegiance, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God. And when we say one nation under God, everybody raises their voice. And then later on, one of the children come up and they recite the Our Father. And we always sort of basically raise our voices when we say, deliver us from evil. So this globalism, this one worldism, this thing that you see that's outlined in the song Imagine, you can see that this is the one world. And what is that, the one world? It's not that hands everybody's together. It's a small group of elite are the ones that are actually running everything. And this is why we should be so fortified against that particular issue. Now, there was something that I was reading, and I was every morning I start off with the Berea. The Berea gives me verses and explanation behind it, and that's how I start my mornings off. And one of the recent verses was fits right into this, and it was very strange to me. Let me read it to you. And this is from Zephaniah 1:12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled in their lees and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Now, I was really puzzled by this, that they're going to be settled on their lees. I didn't know what in the world a lee was. Well, I had to look it up. It just so happens it fits in perfectly with what we're talking about. A lee is actually a term used in winemaking. And what happens when they're making wine, they, of course, crush the grapes and they let it ferment and so forth. But at the bottom, there's what they call the dregs. In other words, the skins and some of the pulp, some of the seeds all get down there. Now, they like to leave that in for a while, because if they leave it in for a while, it actually increases the alcohol content. However, if you leave it in too long, it becomes thick and syrupy and basically worthless. So one of the things that sort of resting on the leaves is like what we use a term resting on our laurels. We don't want to remember, Wiley, being a Christian is like getting on an escalator that's moving in the opposite direction. If you stand still, you're going to go backwards. So we got to keep moving on. And to illustrate this, and a person settled on his leaves was slothful, maybe even complacent, indifferent, and apathetic. Bad wine, so to speak. Okay, so what we want to do, and if you continue to do that, what ends up happening is you smolder in your anger at supposed offenses and eventually become bitter and hateful. So we don't want to sit and rest on our laurels. We want to understand what the symbolism here is. We as Christians are in a warfare. We have to constantly be on guard. We have to constantly be moving forward. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 1:24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So, you know, all the things we do and we get accolades for, whatever it is, remember, all glory is fleeting. You know who said that? General George S. Patton, all glory is fleeting. And one of the common things that I used, we don't want to rest on our oars. Now, you might think, well, where did that come from? Well, I used to have canoeing. And in fact, I would have an entire fourth grade come out of 80 students and usually about 25, 30 parents with me. And we would be paddling out of Day's Cove. And it was really interesting because when I had a west wind, it would actually blow us out of the cove. It was really easy to start with. But then coming back in, we had to paddle hard against the wind. And, you know, if you didn't keep paddling, you were starting to move backwards. In fact, one of the things I used to tell them, if you really get tired, don't stop paddling. Instead, stick your paddles down into the mud. It's only about 2 feet of the depth of the water. And then rest for a while you're standing still. So this is what we're talking about in those terms. So remember, you know, we're in a fight of our lives. We have to resist and overcome and defeat the enemy. And, you know, we don't want to fall into another part that I think is resting on our lees is the idea of this kumbaya. You know, everybody loves everybody else and everything else. You know, it used to be a real good comment. You know, it was talking about kumbaya, was talking about spiritual unity. But over the decades, it's become actually more of a persistent, a false naivety and optimistic view of humankind in the world. You know, everything is not coming up roses. So we need to keep that in terms of that term. And one of the things I want to relate to Satan and how he works is the movie, The Wizard of Oz. If you know The Wizard of Oz, you know, you have the Scarecrow, you have the Tin Man, and you have the Cowardly Lion, and you have Dorothy, and they're all moving to go see this great Wizard of Oz. And when they first get there, they got to do a horrible task. They got to go and get the witch's broomstick. Well, when they finally do and they come back, he's saying, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden, the curtain is pulled back and you see who's controlling everything. It's really not a real true wizard. And I think the man behind the curtain is Satan. We have to understand, we have to realize that. We see that in all the things that are happening. We're trying to blame one person or another, or one group or another group, but really it's Satan behind all this. We have to beware of that. So when we fight, we're fighting with the sword, and the sword is the word of God. So to answer people that are contrary to what we believe, just quote scripture. And that means you have to memorize scripture. And I think that's one of the parts of my life that I've emphasized. In fact, one of the reasons I got so into memorizing scripture is because I had my children, five of them, into Bible Memory Association. So when they went to church and they got their verse, I figured, well, I better learn it too. So I'm learning five verses a week. Well, these things are important to use when you're in a battle. And, you know, one of the things we're warring against is actually the media. In fact, I have a quote here from the CIA director, and I'm going to be talking about the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, the Homeland Security, all these different groups, because all of them basically are being controlled by satanic forces, by Satan himself, the man behind the curtain. Now, this is something, a quote from William Casey, CIA director. He said, well, I'll know when our disinformation program is completed, when every single American believes is false. In other words, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Kind of an interesting, I should read that several times. But one of the things also we see that's influencing our life is technology. And one of the things that technology does. It strips us of our autonomy if we let it. Okay, it preys on our biological and evolutionary weaknesses. It drains us of all humanity and all divinity until man becomes nothing but a mindless slave. And we don't want to become mindless slaves. It's important for us to realize something, and this is something that I found out just recently. I never knew this existed. But one of the things that's happened is in Silicon Valley, this is where all the new technology is coming out of. They're notorious for utilizing trance techniques, and to discover new ideas, they microdose. So where are these ideas really coming from? Now, I didn't know what microdosing was, but I had to look it up, and I found out what it is. They actually, now these are the people in Silicon Valley, the smart people that are writing these computer programs, coming up with the new ideas, they're microdosing. They're taking small doses of hallucinogens. And they say that this actually facilitates their insight into how to create new programs and how to influence people. So we want to be careful of that. And in fact, you know, if you look at all the great writers, many of them use drugs. Okay, and if you looked at many of the music industry uses drugs, many artists involved in actors and actresses in Hollywood use drugs. Okay, even artists use drugs. So we want to be aware of that because you know when you use a drug, you're working into an area that God has forbidden, sorcery. And so when you do that, yeah, you're opening your minds to the satanic world, and that's what we want to try to avoid. And you know. Even some of the movies bring this issue out. In fact, James Cameron, who I think he's directed 50 different movies, but he's the one that started the Terminator series. Remember what the Terminator series is about? You know, it's about man ends up creating a machine, and the machine ends up taking over, and we're warring against it. And the Alien movie, where they're fighting against aliens from another world. And then the RoboCop, another thing where a man-made sort of Superman is taken over. And even Spider-Man. And then even in the movie Avatar, and I think I mentioned this before, about how the worship of the tree was all part of that. So we can see exactly where we're going. We can see the media. We can see the television. We can see that all the influences around us. And I want to read something to you because it's going to play into the entire part that we're going to go into next. And it turns out that Chuck Schumer was being interviewed one-on-one with Rachel Maddow. And this is what he said right after President Trump had been the president-elect. And he was being interviewed, and he spoke of this in a gleeful tone. He said, Trump's criticism of U.S. intelligence agencies. Well, let me tell you this. You take on the intelligence community, and they have six ways from sunny to get back at you. And I think we're seeing that involved today. We can see it with what happened at Mar-a-Lago. We can see with all the false reports that were done on our president. We can see that really he actually infuriated the intelligence agencies and was going to basically remodel them. And so you can see why they were so upset with him and why they're still after him even today. Now, one of the things that also a person that did this before and won against the intelligence agency was, of course, JFK, John F. Kennedy. And remember, you know, he was sort of anti the one-worlders. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. He was country-oriented, okay? And remember what happened. He was actually, in the Bay of Pigs, we see that he was actually really angry with the CIA because the CIA is the ones that really got him into it. It was the CIA director, Alan Dulles. He ends up firing him, okay? And one of the retired CIA agents made this statement, and I have the quote. It says, it is the function of the CIA to keep the world unstable and to propagandize the American people to hate. Okay, now what happened here was Dulles actually was fired by President at that time, Kennedy. And I'll go into the next time. We'll talk about what ends up happening to Kennedy because he went against the intelligence agencies. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.